turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And it's funny because I'm sorry, I sent all my slides last week and they're all wrong. But hey, just follow us. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And let's read this. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." According to your faith, let it be to you. Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for your spirit. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, let it bring illumination to our lives. Lord, give us something, Lord, to realign our lives back to. Lord, I pray, let your word take deep root in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. Let it bring forth lots of fruit, Lord, I pray. Lord, let it be fuel for our lives. Let it be sustenance to our souls and our bodies and our beings, Lord, as we open up your word today, Lord. We thank you that you are the word become flesh. So, Lord, let this word lead us to the word, which is you, Jesus. We ask and we pray for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, back in 2008, so I've got quite a large family, and one of my younger brothers, back in 2008, he was driving his car. He had a Holden Statesman, and he was driving his car with his arm out the window, and it was quite late at night, and he fell asleep at the wheel, and he head-on hit a truck, spun the car around, and then the car behind the truck T-boned the side of the car. It was a major accident. And he lost his right arm. So his right arm was 50 metres down the road. And he lost the use of his leg. His leg was totally crushed, his knee, his ankle. And he actually, at the side of the road, as the ambulance came, he lost so much blood that the ambulance paramedics thought he's actually not going to make it. But they managed to get him to the hospital, and it just so happened that there was a special bone specialist and like trauma specialist that was visiting Launceston Hospital at that moment. And I remember I was living in Perth, and I flew over there, and he was, you know, we went into ICU, and he was, you know, he had tubes coming out everywhere, and he was balancing, you know, between life and death. And they had to, you know, clean up his arm and amputate the rest of his arm. So he had an amputation right up to there. And he actually did recover by the grace of God. And amazingly, he is now traveling the world. He's got the gift of speaking, and he travels the world. He's got a company called the Speakers Institute. And he travels the world talking about how God has changed his life. He's a bit of a motivational speaker as well, but amazing testimony story. But the worst part of losing his arm, he said, was the constant feeling that his arm was there. The constant feeling he could feel the nerve endings on his arm, and he could still feel the excruciating pain of his wrist and his fingers. And it was like he had to train his mind to dissociate his hand and his wrist and his arm from the rest of his body. And he had to train his mind that he just had a shoulder and a stump. And it took such a long time. So he had to train his brain to disassociate the pain receptors from the nerve endings in his arm. It was fascinating. So he went on this whole thing to do it. So he had to retrain his brain. He had to rewire his thinking. He had to change his focus. He had to change thinking about his arm and rethink about, okay, he hasn't got an arm there. And as he started to do that, he was able to block out the pain and block out that excruciating pain. So fascinating. So today I want to talk to you about the power of faith. About the power of faith. You know, your seeing, your perception, the ability to hear or see or become aware of something through your senses. I want to talk about, I guess the title of my message will be According to Your Faith. According to Your Faith. And I feel this so strongly for people here today that God has sent me to stir up your faith, to stir up your believing, stir up your seeing, stir up what you are believing for. You know, the whole Christian life is about faith. It's about who we believe. We believe in someone that we can't see. We believe in a God who is invisible. We know He's there. It's like the wind. We can feel the effects. We don't know where, you know, where it comes from, where it's going, but we know it's there. That, you know, the whole aspect of our Christian walk is about faith. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 talks all about the life of faith and talks about all the amazing people in Scripture and how they were, their whole motivation was they were people of faith. They were people of faith. They were people that believed God. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That's what our faith is. It's tangible, but it's not tangible. And it's important as believers that we stir up our faith, that we stir up what we're believing for, that we stir up. You know, part of our devotions with God is all about faith. It's all about believing God. It's all about, okay, I'm coming to you when I pray. I go in my quiet time and I go in my room and I pray and I believe that you're real. I believe that you're there. I believe that you're going to hear my prayers. That's faith. That's what faith is. And it's so powerful. It's precious. The Bible says it's even more precious than gold. It's precious. That's what we have is our faith. And I want to talk to you about our faith because I believe that God is limited by what He can do in your life because of your faith. He's limited for what He can do in your life because of your faith. You know, we have this amazing story in the gospel about these two blind men. And I want to explore this story and find out what God wants to speak to us about and how we can encounter Him for our own lives. The power of faith, according to your faith. It says here in verse 27, listen to this. It says, and Jesus passed from there, two blind men following Him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." I love their desperation. Sometimes you have to be desperate in your faith. It's like, God, I need you. I need this breakthrough. I'm believing for this breakthrough. You know, I'm believing for something specific in my life, and you have to stir up that faith, and you have to be desperate. You know, faith is active. It's active. It's alive. It's not passive. It's not. Faith without works is dead. Doesn't mean anything. You can say you have faith, but your life betrays you. You know, what sort of life, what sort of faith you have, I can tell by your life. You know, but I love these blind men that were desperate. They were following Jesus, and they were crying out aloud, God, have mercy on us. You know, Jesus, come and help us. I were desperate to hear from God. You know, sometimes, and it's interesting because sometimes His distance is an invitation to come closer. Sometimes you feel God is far. It's like, I'm praying. God feels really far away, but really that's an invitation for you to go closer. It's an invitation for you to come. He's like, come on, come deeper. Come on, come deeper in me. Come and stir up your faith. Come and get desperate. Come and get closer to me. You know, these two blind men, they had a revelation of Jesus. They believed He was the Messiah, the Son of David. Because they said, have mercy on us, Son of David. This whole phrase, Son of David, is really important because they recognized that He was the Messiah. They recognized He was the man to come. They had a recognition. Their faith was like, we know who You are. We know who, you know, God, I know who You are. I know You are Jesus. I know that You are the Messiah. He was the Messiah, the Son of David. You know, and these guys had this revelation even before Peter had the revelation. You know, Peter who had the revelation that You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the, and Jesus said that upon this rock I'll build My church. That was amazing. I mean, that revelation that God had given Peter, but these guys had that revelation even before Peter. That's amazing. Have mercy on us, Son of David. They believed who He was, and Jesus was inviting them into a deeper place. Come on, keep following Me, believe in Jesus, but also believe in His power. You know, and a lot of us are like that. You know, we believe Jesus, we have a relationship with Jesus, but we need to see the power of God in our lives. God, I need healing. I need my marriage to be sorted out. I need this sickness in my body. I need my friend to be healed. We need to see the power of God. And part of that is believing in the power of God. Not only believing in Jesus, but believing in his power. You know, we can trust his saving grace. We've all been born again. Those of you who have been born again and you've accepted Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you're believing him. You're saved. You've been set free. You're going to heaven. You know that he has washed you clean, and you know you believe in his death and his resurrection, and that's the saving grace of God, and we have that belief. But how many know there's much more than that? There's much more there. God wants you to believe for his power, for signs, for wonders, for miracles. One of our cultures here at Numa is miracles are normal. Come on. I believe it. Miracles are normal. Signs and wonders and miracles. I heard an amazing testimony actually just today there. Someone had a broken finger, and someone in this other church prayed for them and took the splint off, and it was totally fine. All the pain had gone. Went and had an x-ray, and the fracture totally disappeared. It just disappeared. Amazing. Miracles are normal. Miracles are normal. You know, God is after his people believing him for power, for signs, wonders, and miracles, as well as salvation. Amen? Amen. We believe that God forgives. Why not that God can also heal? God can forgive, but he can also heal this incurable disease. You know, God has healed our sin sickness by the cross once and for all. Why not believe that he's healed our bodies, our situations, you know, our challenges, the things, you know, when we need a miracle, let's believe him for that. So I'm here to stir up your faith, to believe, to expect the unexpected, to believe for more. God has got so much more for each one of us, and God has got so much more for this location. Amen. Amen. Verse 28, it says, they followed him into the house. I love that. When he entered the house, the blind man came to him. They followed him in. They were persistent. They were like, no, I'm not giving up on this. I'm pushing through. How many here are believing for something supernatural or some miracle in their lives? Come on, put your hands up. If you're believing for some sort of miracle, the power of God in your life, awesome. Let's keep pushing through. Keep believing. Maybe this will be the moment. Maybe today is the day that the power of God is going to be seen in your life. God is looking for people with enduring faith, with that persistent faith that we're going to keep following him. We're going to keep pushing through. We're going to keep going. We're going to believe the best. Listen to this. Eric Fromm, who is one of the world's greatest psychologists, he declared, whoever insists on safety and security as primary conditions of life cannot have faith. To have true faith in God is to take risks, to embrace certainty. Come on, we are the people of God. That is part of our DNA, to take risks, to step out of the boat, you know, to believe God for the impossible. That's who we are. Amen? So what are you asking for? What are you asking for? What are you believing for? What has God put in your heart? What are the desires of your heart that you're believing for? What are some of the miracles that you want to see happen in your life? Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Man, what are you asking for? What are you thinking for? What are you believing for? God actually wants to do immeasurably even more than that in your life. I am telling you, I've seen it in my own life. I believe for something and God just explodes and does something even greater. I absolutely love it. You know, when we first planted the Urban Church, we were believing for 100 people. I'm like, God, I'm believing for 100 people. And we started with 100 people. And then the following week, there were 120. And then the following week, there were more. And God exceeded our expectation. I love that because God loves doing that. He loves blowing our minds. You know, when you step out in faith, when you take that risk, when you believe for something, all that you ask and think, he wants to do even more. I want you to grab this. I want you to lay a hold of this and stir up your faith. What are you believing for? Because God wants to do it and even more and more and more. Greater than we could ask or think. What are you asking for? The book of James, it says, hey, you don't get because you don't ask. The Bible says, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open. Keep asking, and you will receive. Keep seeking, and you will find. Keep knocking, keep pressing in, and the door will be opened. And this is so important for churches. This is so important for our spiritual lives, that we cultivate this life of faith, this life of believing God for the impossible, believing God for our situations that we're in, believing God for, you know, the challenges that we face. Lord, I know that you want to break through, because God has got a promise for every problem that you have. God has got an answer for every single problem we have. Who here believes that? Come on. Amen. Listen to this. I want to read you this. How many of you know that the devil is not creative? He doesn't create. He just distorts what is real. Whenever he talks to us, he lies, and he lies to create a distortion field, because he's the father of lies. He can't tell the truth. And what he does is he works. He lies to us so that the problems that we're facing appear bigger to us than the solutions we carry. You know, every problem that you're facing in your life, the enemy wants you to see that as bigger than the solution that you already carry on the inside, which is the Spirit of God, which is faith. Come on. You're a carrier of the presence of God. The Spirit of God is in you. We just celebrated Easter. And the resurrection, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in you, in us. Wow. The same Spirit of God. His presence is in you and upon you to be victorious and face every situation and problem. And the Lord wants to stir faith tonight. He wants to stir us up with faith. What are you believing for? Come on, what are you hoping for? What are you asking for? Ask bigger. Your dreams are too small. I'm here to say your dreams and your faith is too small. Stir it up. Believe for even bigger and better. Because that's our God. That's who He is. He's just such a good Father. He just wants to bless His kids. He wants to lavish you with blessings and increase and favor, and because that's who He is. Amen? Amen, Steve. Man, you're preaching so well. Thanks. What are you asking for? Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Whatever you ask for in prayer, in relationship, believing, you will receive. Wow. Why? So that God will receive the glory. And here's the thing. Your history with God, your relationship with God is not transferable. You can't rely on Pastor Jason's or Pastor Liv's. You can't rely on their faith. You've got to go and cultivate your own faith. You've got to go and cultivate your own relationship with God. You can't ask for it to be transferred onto you know, you from someone else. You have to cultivate it yourself. There's no shortcuts in growing in intimacy with Jesus. Faith is like a mustard seed. It grows as you nurture it, as you activate it. You have to use your faith. You have to put the word of God that, you know, comes into your mind, it renews your mind. You have to put it into practice. You have to start living it out in your heart and put it into practice. That's how it grows and it activates in your life. And listen to Jesus' response to them. You know, I mean, these men, they're crying out to him, Son of David, have mercy on us. They had a revelation of who he was. And then when he entered into the house, they followed him in. They're like, nah, we're not giving up. We're not waiting at the door. We're going to come rushing in. They had desperation in their hearts. And then Jesus asked them a question. Love it when Jesus asks questions. Because, I mean, he's the Son of God. He knows everything anyway. So why is he asking the question? Well, the reason is he doesn't, it's not that he's looking for answers. He's like, hey, tell me the answer because I don't know something. Jesus knows everything. He's asking a question in order to get them to discover what's happening in their own hearts and in their own lives. And I love this. He says, do you believe that I am able to do this? Whenever God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's looking for a response. And I've found that in my own relationship with God, that often it's not God speaking to me and God telling me things and stuff. I mean, he does that, but often my relationship with God is God asking me things. How are you, Steve? Oh, yeah. What happened then, Steve? What's happening now, Steve? What's going on in your heart right now? He's asking me questions in order to look for a response in me. He's like, oh, okay, yes, God, I know. Yep, you put your finger on that. Yep, I reacted to that. Yes, Lord, okay. Yeah, he's asking me in order to me to grow in self-awareness. Self-awareness is such a key aspect of our spiritual lives and our personal lives. It's like, where is God at work in us? What are the questions that he's asking us? Really, really, really important. Our response should be yes and amen. Yes, Lord. I love this question. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? That's what God is asking you today. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? That question rings out all across time and history. Do you believe that I am able to do this? It rings out right across time and history to us here right now. Do you believe in God's ability? Not the doctor's report, not your past, not your issues. Jesus didn't ask them, hey, how did this happen? So tell me about how did you get blind? You know, let's try and work it out. Was it your father? Was it your mother? Did you sin? Were you born with this? He didn't worry about any of that. He just asked the question, do you believe? He didn't explain the why it happened, whether it was their fault, were they born with it. He didn't ask about their status, their wealth, whether they were able to pay him for a cure. He didn't ask about their reputation, should he get credit by curing them. But he asked them about their faith. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And that's that question. You know, as I'm reading that, I can feel that. I'm like, oh, okay, God. Do you believe, Steve, that I'm able to do this? Well, God, I need this and I need that and I need you to speak to me in that and I need this to happen in my life and I need my brother to be healed and I need my sister to get saved. Steve, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes. That's what he's looking at. He's causing us to believe in faith, to switch on our faith. I love that. Those who want to encounter Jesus shall be dealt with according to their faith, not according to their personalities, not according to their profession, not according to their past, not according to their sin, but according to their faith. Love that. According to your faith, let it be unto you. That's what he said. Because their response was, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our response is like, yes, Lord. Yep, I believe. Yep, Lord. But according to your faith, he said, let it be done to you. Let it be done to you according to what you believe. This is really powerful, guys. This is really powerful. According to your imagination, according to what you're thinking about, according to your faith, what are you thinking? Are your thoughts consumed with negativity, with criticalness, with jealousy, with competitiveness? Is your, according to your faith, according to what you're thinking, this works in the negative as well as the positive. The Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so shall he be. According to your thought life, what are you thinking about? What are you dreaming about? What are you believing for? What are you believing for in the next season? You know, what are you believing for Pneuma Church in the next season? According to your faith, according to what you're thinking about, you know, God is limited to what he can do in your life according to your faith. We can choose the limits we put on faith. We can choose the limits we put on the promises of God. That's pretty powerful. It's according to your reality, according to your perception, according to your imagination. What are you imagining about? What can you, according to you, think, you know, what are you imagining about? According to your thoughts, according to your awareness, what are you most aware of? Jesus walked the planet and he was most aware of the Holy Spirit. He was most aware of the kingdom of God. He wasn't aware of sin, most aware of sin or the negative or the devil or the enemy or, you know, what's happening in the natural. He was most aware of the Father's voice. He was most aware of the Holy Spirit. He was most aware of, oh, the kingdom can come. This is where the kingdom will come. See, faith does not deny a problem's existence. It denies a problem's influence. Problem's influence. According to your faith. Have you ever met people that always seem to be in a crisis? Everything bad seems to happen in them. There always seems to be a major issue in their life or a sickness or a tragedy, one after the other. Maybe it's because of the way they attract it, the way they think. Maybe it could be their perception. I'm not saying all of it. I'm saying maybe it could be that. Not always, but sometimes it's down to the thoughts and the language and the perception and the faith and their imagination. It attracts calamity. The Bible says in James, a double-minded man receives nothing from the Lord. How many know that sitting on a fence is quite painful? Have you ever tried sitting on a fence? It's quite painful. You're either this side or that side. You choose which side you are. Don't be double-minded. Listen to this. In Psalm 78, verse 22, it's talking about the Israelites. They did not believe God and they did not trust his saving power. And then verse 40, it says, how often they provoked him, God, in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. So you can limit God's power in your life because why? According to your faith, according to what you believe. They limited God. And it says this, they did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, he worked signs in Egypt and his wonders in the fields of Zoan. So they limited the power of God in their lives because they forgot. They forgot what he'd done. They hadn't stirred up faith. Faith. Are you limiting God in your life or in this church? Matthew 13, verse 58 says this, Jesus did not do many works there because of their unbelief. So you know what happens on a Sunday here? What you're experiencing in the presence of God here is because of your faith. It's because of your faith, your hunger, your drawing on the power of God. You're shifting your awareness. It's because of your faith. Don't limit God because of your unbelief. The Message version, I love this. It says, you become what you believe. This is actually what Jesus was saying to these blind men. Whatever you believe will happen to you according to your faith. You've heard that saying, you know, you are what you eat. Well, it's you are what you believe. That's why repentance is so vital in a person's life and a life of repentance. And that literally means a change of thinking, a change of believing, a change of perception, a change of your imagination. Because the kingdom is so accessible to us. It's so accessible to the people who have faith. It's so accessible to the people who learn how to repent and live a life of repentance. Lord, transform my mind, transform my thinking. I'm still repenting. That's what repentance is. Yes, it's turning from sin when you're first saved, but it's also renewing your mind and living a life of repentance. Amen. Amen. It first starts in your mind, the reality, the way you think. You receive the kingdom. If you want to receive the kingdom, you need to change the way you think. That was Jesus' one message. Change the way you think because the kingdom is here. That was his one message. Repent. The kingdom's here. This whole life of faith and love and hope and joy and freedom is available to those who change the way they think. Live a life of repentance. So how do you live a life of repentance? How do you live a life of encounter? How do you change your perception? How do you get more faith? How do you see more? How do you change the way you think? you repent. You have to shift your awareness. You know, most people are more aware of their problems rather than God's solutions. Me included. We're more aware of our issues and our problems rather than the power of God and God's solutions for our lives. Let me go one step further. Most people are more aware of other people's problems rather than realizing that God has shown them so they can be a part of the solution. When you start noticing problems in people's lives and the negative in people's lives, it's not so you can judge them. It's so you can provide solutions, so you can encourage them and lift them up and build them in the kingdom. Amen? So faith grows with an awareness of God in your life. You want more faith? God, I want to increase my faith. I want to be a person of faith. How do I become a person of faith? Well, grow in your awareness of God. Grow in your awareness of God. You can't not be aware of the negative, but it's a question of emphasis and priority. Jesus didn't ignore the devil. He was aware of the devil and sin and the brokenness, but he was more aware, his priority was more aware of the kingdom of heaven, of the Father's voice, of what the Holy Spirit was saying. He's more aware of that because what you think, you become. Like I said, Proverbs 23:7 says that, as a man thinks in his heart, so shall he be. When you dwell and meditate on the kingdom of God, on what God says about you, it affects the atmosphere around your life, your demeanor, your behavior. You've got to identify the lie and bring it to the light. Bring it to the light. Whatever you deny can't be healed. Let's just bring all of our... God sees it all anyway. He sees it all anyway. He's God. Might as well just bring it to the light and let him deal with it and let him sort it out. And God, I need faith. Give me, heal me in this area. Change my awareness. But the opposite of faith is control. That's why so many people struggle with fear. They don't trust God. They want to control their own lives. They actually haven't surrendered their life, their future, their situation to God. It takes surrender. Faith... Part of faith is surrender. It's like, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm surrendering all to you. I can't do this. I'm going to let go of my need for control, my need of, you know, what I'm thinking about. I'm going to ask, Lord, that would you take control? Would you restore me? Would you restore me? Jesus responds to faith. He responds to faith. He doesn't respond to doubt. Doesn't respond to fear. He responds to faith. When we come to him, when we pray, we've got to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? He responds with faith. Jesus refused to heal without faith. He's not a magician. He's one who seeks to glorify his Father. That's why he couldn't do many mighty works. For people who had unbelief, he couldn't perform miracles because they were like, oh, that's just Jesus. He just lives down the road and he's a carpenter. It's like, hang on, this is the Son of God, the Messiah. Do you believe according to your faith, let it be done to you? I believe that God is stirring us right now. God is stirring his people, especially at Pneuma Church. Right across every location. I'm blessed to visit all of the locations and speak to all the pastors. And, you know, we've been through an incredibly difficult season as a church family, but we've come through it. And God is wanting to stir our faith again. God is wanting us to believe again. God is wanting us to lift up our eyes, and believe that the best is yet to come. God's got exciting things for us as a church. As a church family. So it's according to our faith. So we have to renew our minds. It's so important to renew our minds. Heaven's reality is available to those who have faith. Amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes. Love that. He said that to the father of the child who was sick. And I love the Father's response. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, and it gets me every time. the father of the child cried out and said to Jesus with tears, Lord, I believe, help my disbelief, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I love that juxtaposition. It's like, and we all deal with it. It's like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I'm believing for you, but I'm still doubting. Lord, I believe, but I've still got fear. Lord, I believe, but I still want to be in control. You know? And we all deal with it, but we've got to come to the Lord with that. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God healed him. I love that. I love that. And I know there's people here and you're believing for something. You're believing for something. God, I'm believing. I've been praying for this situation. I've been praying for this breakthrough in my business. I've been praying for breakthrough in my finance. Been praying for breakthrough with my body, with healing in my body. And it's like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, all God needs is faith as small as a mustard seed. It's all he needs. It's just, come on, step out in faith. Start to believe again. Start to believe again. Start to imagine again. Lord, I know that you can heal me. I know that you can break through in this specific situation. Amen.